begin by
recording in progress.
Call the meeting to order. We'd like to begin by acknowledging the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Start with roll call. I'm Mayor Peter Hopkins.
Councillor Morley Haskell. Councillor Mike Heckman.
Mayor Smith.
Treasurer Ocean Cantia.
Councillor Reg Moore.
Councillor Nick Ryan.
I'm the Watkins City Clerk.
Okay. Is there any declarations of conflict of interest? Hearing none. Resolution 22330. Be resolved that the Council of the Township of Gallagher does hereby approve the agenda for this meeting as amended by the following. 1. Amending the meeting time from 6:30 to 6. Moving item 13.1, the Cogeco Agreement, to motions and notice of motions, item 14.4. And adding 16.1, unfinished business to the business the following. The Tatum Engineering Review and Report Bylaw Number 2022-24 and Schedule A Roads Policy. Jennifer Bigger, Russell Christie, L. Lawyer. Review and Report and Bylaw Number 2022-24 Schedule A Roads Policy. And 3. Bylaw 2024 Schedule A Roads Policy as amended for third reading. Can I have a mover and a second? So move second. Second. Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Resolution 22331. Be it resolved that the Council of Township of Gallagher is hereby moved into the public meeting at
6:02 p.m.
May I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councilor Riley, Councilor Haskell. Any discussion? Call a question. All in favor? Carried. Okay, we've made introductions of our council and staff. And is there any disclosure of community interest or general nature thereof? Hearing none. So I will ask that we take a roll call of our guests and visitors who are in attendance. So start with you, Ted.
It's Ted Davidson. I'm the interim planning consultant for the Township of McKellar on this file.
Thank you. Sorry?
Say your name.
I'll go ahead and do that.
Debbie Zulak.
Carly Britton, Deputy Clerk, Planning Assistant with the Township of McKellar.
Ken Jackson.
Karen Beauchamp. I'm a planner with Clearwater Planning, Inc., and I'm the planner for the applicant on the zoning bylaw. Zoning bylaw amendment.
Rory Whitnell.
Laura Whitnell.
Anna Perlman.
Juan Sinella.
David Moore.
Good. Thank you very much. We're going to get a chance to participate in the discussion when we get to it. Please make sure that you go through the chair and you state your name before you present so we can have that recorded. Okay, so this is about Ohad Soama. Proposed zoning bylaw amendment is to rezone the property locally known as 154 Center Road and legally known as Part Lot 22 and 23 Concession 11 from the Waterfront 2 WF2 zone to site-specific tourist commercial C2SP special provision zone. Ask the clerk if any letters have been, correspondence have been received.
We received one phone call, and the lady came into the office. She met with myself and with the director of operations. She was concerned in regards to where the entrance was going to be, if there were going to be any changes made to the entrance onto the property, and she's happy with what she has seen. She's has not got any problems with the application moving forward.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to ask Ted Davidson to comment.
You're going to go to the...
Yes.
Absolutely.
I noticed that the audio is not so good.
The key is to speak slowly and into it.
Okay.
We've learned.
This is an application for a rental cottage, a tourist establishment, located at 154 Center Road in McKellar. That's just before you get to the Veterans Bridge on the left-hand side. Years ago, I bought a smoke truck from the previous owner, and it was, I believe, a horse barn for a while, and has been recently sold to Mr. Slama, and he has made an application to have this tourist establishment with the maximum of 6 rental cottages. In looking at the file, we all know that tourist establishments are permitted in the waterfront designation, which this is, and they are also, requires a rezoning to a site-specific rezoning to a CR zone. And I've asked Mr. Slama to have his planning consultant provide counsel with the rationale, and as well we have a fisheries biologist, I think, from FIRI, ecologist in North Bay. So I'll turn it over to Karen Beauchamp.
So thank you very much. So I'm a registered professional planner with Clearwater Planning, Inc., and the owner, Ohad Slama, is here with his partner, Anna Perlman. So the current zoning on the property is waterfront 2, and there's also areas that are zoned environmental protection and floodplain. And the proposed zoning will be tourist commercial exception, and the environmental protection and floodplain zoning will remain on the property. A rental cottage is defined as a building to accommodate one or more guests that contains at least 2 rooms and may or may not contain cooking facilities. I'd just like to go to the first map. Okay, so there's the property. It's 154 Center Road. As Ted said, it's just...
Excuse me, if gentlemen can't see, come over here. And
I got a computer right here.
Okay, fine. Thank you. Just want to make sure. Sorry.
Yeah, it's about 2.5 kilometers east of the village and right before the Veterans Memorial Bridge. It's 48 hectares or 119 acres in size, so it's quite large. 290 meters on Center Road, so that's the green line at the south, and 800 plus meters of frontage on the Middle River, which is on the east side of the property. There's an intermittent creek that runs east and west across the property. And as Ted said, it used to be a farm, and there are 3 ponds on the property where they used to raise trout. The next slide. So right now on the property, you can see the ponds there on 1, 2, 3, and 4. There's a single detached dwelling where Ohad and Anna live year-round. There's a barn and workshop and stables, and then a number of small buildings, a greenhouse, chicken coop, pump house, outdoor wood furnace, and there's a bunkie on Pond 2. And the area to the north, south, east, and west is all residential, vacant, may have been formerly farms too. There's quite a few cleared areas on this property. You can't see them because of the tree canopy now in the overhead slide. So the owners bought the property in 2019, and Ohad and Anna moved to McKellar permanently in 2020. They love the McKellar area, and their family and friends quickly fell in love with the area as well. And this is what gave them the idea to build a few rental cottages so others could come and experience the beauty of nature in McKellar. So the proposed uses, the existing structures will remain. That means that Ohad and Anna will continue to live on the property full-time, and the clients in the rental cottages will be their guests. This will be a part-time venture for them. They both have full-time jobs as well. The bunkie on pond 2 will be removed and replaced with a rental cottage. And again, there will be a maximum of 6 cottages. The owners want to provide a range of experiences for their guests. And so 3 of the cottages will front on the ponds and 3 on the middle river. It could be a combination of yurts, geodesic domes, frame cottages, but they will all meet the Ontario Building Code. And each one will have a kitchen, bathroom, living area, and a maximum of 3 bedrooms. They may not all have 3 bedrooms. Some will have hydro service, the ones closer to the house and the road, and the others will be solar powered. They will have incinerating toilets and gray water pits for the kitchen sink, bathroom sink, and the shower. Provided with potable water, they'll be available year-round, and they will have some floating docks. And the rental cottages will be built over time as the business grows. So those are the proposed locations of the rental cottages. You see the 3 on the ponds, and then 4, 5, and 6 are up along the middle river. Nicely spaced apart, and they're all in existing clearings, so very little vegetation will need to be removed. The agencies consulted, the North Bay Manitowoc Conservation Authority confirmed that there's water coming just from 1 kitchen sink, 1 bathroom sink, and 1 shower. A gray water pit would be appropriate for taking care of that wastewater for each cottage, and the incinerator toilets would be allowed as well. And the North Bay Parry Sound District Health Unit said that they will need to give notice and they'll have to operate a small drinking water system once they get going because they'll be providing water to the public. And the Township of McKellar Director of Operations advised that the existing entrance and driveway may need some improvements and some upgrading, and he'll be in discussions with the owner about that. And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you that the owner pre-consulted with Ted Davidson, the township's planning consultant, and he met on site with us this summer on a weekend to discuss the application and provide guidance about the McKellar's rezoning process and how that would be. And that's been very, very helpful. So studies completed. These were required by the township to be submitted with the application and includes a preliminary natural heritage feature screening and impact assessment report by FRI Ecological Services in North Bay. And I'm going to turn it over now to Hannah Wolfram, the biologist, to present the information in that study. And then when she's done, I'll come back and I'll give the planning rationale for the application.
Everyone, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So I'm attending from North Bay, and I will just give a little bit of background on the study that our firm undertook. We were retained by property owners to take a look at the natural heritage features that had potential to be present on the property, and then to, given the scope and scale of the proposed development, we undertook an avoidance approach to assess potential natural heritage features when we conducted the impact assessment. So this means that where a value had potential to be present, it was assumed present, and then we measured accordingly to achieve avoidance of any negative impacts. So if we flip to the next slide, we look at 5 natural heritage features: habitat of endangered and threatened species, fish habitat, and significant wildlife habitat. As noted below, the significant wildlife or significant wetlands and areas of natural and scientific interest were not present on or adjacent the property, so we focused our study primarily on those 3 natural heritage features. So when we took a closer look at the potential endangered and threatened species that could be present on the property, we looked at the range of the species and the habitat present on the site, and we cross-referenced which species have potential. So this left us with species at risk bats, barn swallows, Lanning's turtle, bobolinks and meadowlark, chimney swifts, and purple whales. So through various mitigation measures that were detailed in the report, we were able to achieve avoidance to the individuals as well as their habitat through various measures, including recommended timing windows for tree removal. Removal of trees below a certain diameter, the usage of existing clearings, and certain species such as bottleneck and meadowlark, they did not have the threshold of habitat present to support these individuals. So through an assessment that we undertook, potential impacts, we were able to measure any areas where the proposed structures are located on the site. There are wetlands present on the site, but our recommendation is that the development is set back 30 meters from the wetlands, and site-specific assessment was undertaken in the report to achieve this. And there was confirmed fish habitat flowing through the property and throughout the Middle River, but the proponent has agreed to set back all of the structures 30 meters from the shoreline to respect this fish habitat, and given the scope and scale of the proposed development and size, there are no anticipated negative impacts to fish habitat. We can hop to the next slide. Perfect. So the last step of the feature that we looked at in detail is significant wildlife habitat. So the area has been identified as having potential for deer yarding, and we looked at 50 various different types that have potential, and it was narrowed down to 11. So the 11 types that are present here are detailed in the chart, taken directly from the report. They include seasonal concentration areas, specialized habitat for wildlife and animal movement corridors, as well as special concern species, including snapping turtle, various migratory birds, and monarchs. So through a detailed review of all these potential features and recommended mitigation measures, we were able to also achieve avoidance of any negative impacts to these potential features that may be present on the site. So through all of these measures and a detailed assessment undertaken at a site-specific level, our conclusion of the reporting is that there are no negative impacts anticipated and that any potential impacts can be avoided through recommended mitigation measures, which I believe Karen will go into a little bit more detail will form part of site plan control.
Thank you, Hannah. And Hannah will stay online till the end of the meeting. If there's any questions regarding her study, she'll be able to answer those. Okay, for the planning report, the Planning Act requires that when council makes a decision on an application for rezoning, they need to make sure that their decision conforms or does not conflict with the growth plan. It's consistent with the provincial policy statement, conforms to Township of McKellar official plan, and it's appropriate for development of the property and represents good planning. And I'll summarize how the application meets these five criteria. The growth plan for Northern Ontario. The province wants to grow tourism in Northern Ontario by expanding and diversifying tourism offerings, increasing tourism visits and receipts, encouraging new, flexible, high-quality tourism products, and welcoming domestic and international travelers. The six rental cottages meet these criteria, and in my opinion, the rezoning conforms with the growth plan. The second criteria for council that is consistent with the provincial policy statement. And the statement says, when directing development on rural lands, the planning authority, that's you, council, shall apply the policies of sections 1 to 3 in the provincial policy statement. Section 1 is about building strong, healthy communities, and the rental cottages are permitted as a resource-based recreational use in a rural area. Tourism should be promoted. The six rental cottages suit the rural landscape, and there's no need to increase service levels, such as policing, fire, and ambulance, and there's no expansion of infrastructure is needed. There is already a year-round municipally maintained road, and hydro is available, and the cottages will be serviced with on-site water and sewage disposal systems. Section 2 of the Provincial Policy Statement talks about wise use and management of resources, and HANA has provided the strategies to ensure that the natural features are protected. There's a 30-meter buffer for fish habitat, and habitat of endangered and threatened species is protected. And Section 3 talks about protecting public health and safety. The Middle River and the creek bisecting the property have been identified as hazardous lands subject to flooding. There's proposed to be a 30-meter setback from these areas. And in my opinion, the rezoning is consistent with the provincial policy statement. The third criteria for council is that it conforms to the Township of McKellar official plan. So right now the property, the main designation is waterfront. And again, there are several areas along the creek and Middle River that are designated floodplain, environmentally sensitive, and type 1 fish habitat. And the official plan also identifies that the property is within the deer wintering area. So this pink area shows the 30-meter setback from the floodplain, environmentally sensitive areas, and type 1 fish habitat. So in addition to reinforcing the provincial policy statement, your community has chosen some very strong policies about how they want to see new development take place. So the basis for the waterfront policies, it says environment first philosophy on new development. The principles talk about tourist commercial uses are permitted in the waterfront designation, and when considering new development, care must be taken to protect and preserve the waterfront area and the character of the shoreline. The goals say the waterfront designation is to provide for viable new development that will preserve the environment and the recreational water bodies. And the objectives there also encourage and support new development that respects the environment. And in my opinion, the rezoning does reflect these official plan policies. Other sections of your official plan about municipal roads says that a new development needs to be on a municipal road, which it is, capable of handling the additional traffic and where there's good sight lines, and that's what your director of operations was checking out, and we'll be working with the owner on that. And then the others, again, are the type 1 fish habitat and water quality, and then the natural heritage evaluation. So in that section it says a natural heritage evaluation will demonstrate to council's satisfaction that new development of tourist commercial uses will have no negative impacts on the natural heritage features. So the proposed zoning bylaw amendment, what it looks like, it's pretty simple. We'll amend the map where the WF2 symbol was. We'll be putting the tourist commercial exception, or SP, whatever your municipality uses, and then adding a new section that says, on this property, or in this zone, on this property, no one will use or erect or alter or use any building or structure for any purpose except these residential uses. And those residential uses are the same in all the tourist commercial zones in the regular zoning. And then the commercial uses are restricted to a maximum of 6 rental cottages, each with a maximum gross floor area of 100 square meters. In the regular tourist commercial zoning, there's hotels, motels, lodges, campgrounds. Not the case in this property. This will be only the 6 cottages. And the property meets all the other provisions of the tourist commercial zone, such as setbacks from lot lines, lot coverage, parking spaces, all those things. So we submitted a site plan control application concurrent with the application for zoning bylaw. And this is a tool under the Planning Act that council can use to control development on the site. It's registered on title, so when the property sells and the lawyer checks title, the site plan control agreement is going to show up there. It's binding on future owners, so they need to follow the rules too. It's applicable law under the building code, so the CBO will be making sure that the building permit and sketch reflect the site plan control agreement. It's site-specific development rules over and above zoning. So where zoning provisions cover all properties in a zone, and every property in that zone is subject to the same setbacks, a site plan control agreement provides additional rules for this property only. And finally, it's enforceable. Their fines and charges can be laid if the owner does not follow the rules. So the proposed site plan control agreement clauses are to protect the natural heritage features on the property. And these are taken right out of the report that Hannah Wolfram just talked about. So no development or site alteration in the wetlands or the fish habitat, and actually stay 30 meters away from both of those. If there's going to be any excavation for footings or foundation between June 1st and October 15th, they need to put up fencing to keep the turtles away from the excavated site. And that fencing needs to be put up before June 1st. Work sites must be swept for turtles. Gravel stockpiles need to be isolated from June 1st to July 31st with sediment fencing. Where minor vegetation is removed, it will take place between November 1st and March 31st. And minor vegetation is considered to be clearing of weeds and trees smaller than 20 centimeters of breast height. No trees greater than 20 centimeters will be removed. No blasting on the site. And to protect the fish habitat, approval from Department of Fisheries and Oceans is required for anything that's going to be in the Mill River, like a dock. So the fourth criteria for council is appropriate for the development of the property. The zoning bylaw will limit the number and size of rental cottages. The site plan agreement will protect the natural heritage features. The owner will obtain permits and approvals from agencies. The rental cottages will meet Ontario Building Code standards. And the property is large. It has an area of 48 hectares. And the six cottages are spread out across the property. So in my opinion, it is appropriate for development of this property. And the fifth criteria represents good planning. So in my opinion, the owner has done their due diligence to demonstrate that the rezoning application meets all of these criteria and represents good planning. And we hope that council will give favorable consideration to our application. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Kim. We have one more speaker and we can ask questions. You want to ask questions now?
Wait.
Okay. So I'm going to ask the applicant if they want to make a presentation.
Well, hi, my name is Oad Slama. Not much more than what Karen said. I mean, I can just speak from a personal perspective. What we're trying to do, I came 3.5 years ago to Mekana, really loved the place, you know, family, friends. The intention of this plan was mainly to give them a way to come here and then to justify the cost of building some kind of a sleeping cabin for guests, was to also rent it for other people that can enjoy the area like we do. On a part-time basis, sometimes on weekends and stuff like that. We are not planning to operate that as a full-time business. Both of us are working full-time. I'm also planning to do the building process myself, so definitely it's going to take me longer to get to each of those cabins. And the six of them is just like a very long-term plan. When we talked to Mr. Davidson, he just said that this process is obviously not easy to go through, so we wanted to future-proof and just be prepared for the future if we ever want to build more than the one that we are planning to start with. we are trying to keep it as simple as possible. We started talking about yurts and then geodesic domes, big structures that are... they can live with the environment, near the trees. Like we said, we are not planning to... All the locations that I chose were specifically where we don't have trees at the moment. All of them are clearings. All the three that are on the middle river, they are hidden from the river, so you're not going to be able to see them even if you're canoeing or kayaking. and it gives privacy to the people that will be there if we get to those cabins. I think that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so there's been a lot of good presentations, very thorough presentations. Any comments from council at this point? Any questions that anyone has?
I think the only thing I've seen, and Karen touched on, I was going to ask Ted, but is the one parking spot per cottage, that's what our zoning does call for? So I was thinking...
I'm going to be looking at all the provisions in the draft zoning bylaw, and that's why I did not have it here tonight. First of all, I wanted to hear the public comment before anything. I wanted to ensure myself that the Conservation Authority, the health unit, had been contacted before any provisions go in a site plan agreement, for example. I have discussed with OHAD and his planner the specific locations for the properties that would be outlined in the site plan agreement. And with respect to parking, one space per cottage is insufficient in my view. With respect to a rental cottage, if there's a maximum of six. I know that when I had a rental cottage next to me, unfortunately, in the waterfront zone, I'd have 11 people show up with cars. Yeah. But there are provisions for rental cottages in other municipalities that deal with, and there's also reviews of rental cottages within other municipalities that deal with parking ratios.
Right. So even if it's the minimum six, as long as they would be allowed to put in six more in the future without having to come back for a rezoning, that is a concern. So whether that can be...
We have discussed the parking area that's going to be set out, the Councillor Haskin, and it's going to be large enough to accommodate, I think, all of the parking.
Yeah, there's lots of space there. So. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Murr?
Yes. Good show.
The plan.
I think this question is for you. I think you touched on it a little bit, but I was just wondering if you could expand on the previous use as opposed to the future use and the impacts on the environment and the surrounding area in your view as a planner.
So the previous use was residential and formerly a farm. OHAD doesn't have any animals there at all. He's just using it for residential. And with the zoning changing to tourist commercial, I think the six rental cottages are very reasonable to have on that size of a property. And I don't feel there's going to be any impact on adjacent properties. With the setbacks proposed for natural heritage, and we're dealing with parking and entrance and all the agencies, everything will be, you know, contained on the property. And I think it's a very good proposal myself.
So if I understand what you're saying, there's probably a lesser impact with six rental cottages than what there was previously with trout ponds and farming and that.
Well, farming is very traditional, so I don't ever say, you know, there are problems with farming, because that's a traditional way of life. So it's different than what was there. I don't think farming has big impacts on land either. They're very sensitive to that. So I think they're both, you know, equal and work well with the property.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Any other questions, comments from council? Hearing none. Are there any questions or comments from people in the audience? Mr. Zulak, state your name for you.
It's Zulak. My son's property is directly across from yours and Bullheads, and we touch on the back corner from Center Road. Balsam Road, he has absolutely no problem with it, neither does the rest of the Zulaks. We're going ahead with it. We don't mind in there. And Dietmar, Paul, was actually a commercial fish farm that registered. So it was to be able to sell fish to the public, you had to have a registered fish farm. You can't just dig a hole and sell a fish farm. So I know he was a commercial user.
That's all. Thank you.
Any other comments? Yes, please state your name.
Oh, Suzanne Pop. Hi. I'm sorry, a little late there, but did we touch on the environment as far as the animals in the area as well? I read through all the documents yesterday, and there was some reports. Blanding turtles are most of my concerns. So what are your thoughts, and have you seen those nesting in the area?
Mm-hmm. Hannah, would you be able to speak to that?
My apologies, I did not. The sound didn't come through for me, so if you just repeat the question, I'd be happy to respond.
Okay, she's asking about protecting animals and habitat, and in particular, Blanding's turtles. This lady came late to the meeting and didn't hear your presentation, your part of the presentation.
Okay, we did consider Blanding's turtles in great detail. We considered the individuals, and we also considered the potential habitat. I know there are confirmed observations adjacent to the property, so that was definitely a consideration for us. We assumed the presence of the species, we assumed the presence of the habitat, and given the general habitat description provided by the ministry, we mitigated accordingly. So some of the site plan control measures that Karen touched on, including timing, isolating materials, location, and also habitat mapping in general. So in certain category types, there is tolerance to alteration. So where turtles can continue to use the site and the form and function is retained in post-development, then there you can demonstrate no negative impact. So where turtles are moving through the site, so they may be moving from the wetland area to middle river, that movement corridor will still be maintained even post-development when the rental structures are developed. So there are some strict recommendations surrounding the construction period, and there was also consideration given to the habitat and the things. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Yes,
yes. Yes. Thank you, Hannah.
Any other questions? State your name.
Ken Jackson. I don't have any questions. I just want to say that I'm co-owner of a piece of property adjacent to this. It's a fairly large piece of property. This piece of property was actually my great-grandfather's piece of property at one time, and my grandfather grew up there. I think it's a very good plan. My partner and I met with Ohad a week or so ago, and we can't see any problems with it. As long as they stay with their own property, I have no problems. So just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, Ken. Okay. So resolution 22332 be resolved that the Council of Township Clutter is hereby reconvened into regular council at 6:38 p.m. Mover and seconder, please. Councilor Heskey, Councilor Ryan. All in favor? Resolution 22333 be resolved that the Council of Township Recovery is hereby deemed the OHAD rezoning application complete. I need a mover and a seconder, please. Councilor Mueller, second. Councilor Kekin. Any discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Carried. Thank you. Resolution 22334 be resolved that the Council of Township Recovery is hereby accept the minutes of the August 9th, 2022 regular meeting of Council and the August 30th, 2022 special meeting of Council. Mueller, a second, please. Councilor Heston, a Councilor Ryan, any discussion? Any submissions, questions? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Okay. So we have resolution 22335, that the proposed consent to create two new rural lots by David Hardy as applied for in consent application number B422022 Hardy be approved subject to the following conditions. One, that a fee in lieu of parkland dedication be paid to the township in accordance with the township fee bylaw, 911 addressing, payment of any applicable planning fees, and four, that the road in front of the property in question be brought up to an approved municipal standard. We have a mover and a second, please. Councilor Wood, second. Councilor Haskin. Ask John Jackson. John there? John, could you speak to it, please?
Thank you, Your Worship. Good evening, Council, members of the public. This is an application to create two rural lots at the north end of the Hardy Lawrence property on Lindsay Lane. They meet standards for the Fish Plan zoning bylaws, so I believe that the application is straightforward, subject to any questions of Council. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from Council? Mr. Moore?
Being as how, can you hear me, John?
I can.
Being as how the property is zoned rural, and the property across the road, which is only separated by 66 feet, is zoned waterfront, and the uses are not very compatible, do you not feel that this property should be rezoned to maybe an RR zone?
It would be a council's recommendation. I don't know that. I think what the councillor is implying is that there are some agricultural uses, for example, that are permitted in rural zones that might be challenging in terms of complying or being compatible with the waterfront zone. Not predicting any particular problem. I'm not sensing that someone would really put a hog farm or a horse farm that might create a problem, but it's council's prerogative. If they want this applicant to go through that application process, that's their, as I said, that's their choice. If that's desired, we can put that as a condition.
I would agree there may not be, but that's what planning is to plan for the future so that you can negate those problems down the road that would be a cost to the municipality, probably. And I can read off the rural uses in our zoning bylaw. So the rural uses in the lots that are being severed are a single detached dwelling, an accessory apartment, a farm, a specialized use farm, which would be a hog farm or a feedlot, an animal hospital, a kennel or a riding stable, a nursery or commercial greenhouse, a contractor's yard, an agricultural use, a home industry, a home occupation, a custom workshop, additional dwelling unit, a boarding house, a mobile home, a group home, a golf course, a hunting camp, or a wayside pit. Whereas the waterfront property across the road is a single detached dwelling, a mobile home, a home occupation, and accessory uses there too, being garages and so on. So there's quite a difference in the uses. They aren't really compatible uses, only separated by 66 feet, in my view.
Any comments, John, or is it up to us to put that as a condition?
I'm not recommending it. Those uses are in place now before the land division. I'm not anticipating a problem, but we'll take council's guidance on it. I'm simply saying that I don't see it as an extra layer of process that needs to occur in this instance, but that's just my opinion.
Council, comments?
Well, I think that what Reg is bringing up is certainly worth looking at as a possible zoning bylaw amendment in the future. Should this be considered in all development going forward, whether we should be having a more acreage in a case like this, where there are possibly future conflicting uses next to it? It's something that maybe council should consider.
What do you mean in the future? Sorry, I don't understand that.
Like, for example, say if this person continued to sever off more lots here, which it looks like we may have potential for, that maybe there should be a rezoning to the rural in that case.
It is rural.
Or I'm sorry, to the rural residential, right, to control some of those uses.
And this is the second consent on this property now. There was already a consent in the past. I don't know how that satisfies the issue that there could be problems down the road. Like, that's what planning is to plan for the future, look into the future and see where there may be problems. If the township has, council has any thought that there might be bylaw issues in the future that could cost the taxpayers money, now is the time to make sure those don't happen.
Any other comments? Councilor Keckley.
So, John, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, so I'm just looking back at other consent applications that we've had recently, such as the COCO, which is B25-222 McKellar. And so one of the conditions was rezoning the lands to reflect the two reconfigured lots. So what? So that was originally a WF2, I think. So when that was reconfigured, what was the what is the anticipated rezoning of those two reconfigured lots? Because it doesn't say here in the conclusion; it just says rezoning the lands to reflect the two reconfigured lots. So what would they be rezoned to?
I think in that case they were originally part of the waterfront, so they were being separated to be non-waterfront. So can't recall exactly what the size of the lots, but if they would have met the rural standard, it could have been rezoned rural or rural residential. I don't recall exactly how they proceeded.
Upon reconsidering my thoughts on this, that for the severance of these two lots, maybe council should consider rezoning to the rural residential to ensure that some of the uses don't go forward. And it's I don't think it's a real onerous process to go through to do that, so I'm leaning toward maybe that should be a condition.
Just recently we dealt with a conditions for a consent on Burnett's Road, and we had a planner do a planner report for that, and that was exactly the same situation with rural on the one side and waterfront on the other side of the road, and his recommendation was to rezone, I believe, to an RR zone.
Yeah, I think that would be agreeable to that.
So to be clear, are we talking about just applying it to the severed lots or to the retained lots?
Yes, exactly. Just
those two. Okay.
we've added in 0.5 to new lots be rezoned to our rural residential. Is that understood, Brendan?
Okay.
Any other comments?
We don't have the clause in there that we haven't put in verification from the Director of Operations by way of a staff report that the lots can adopt to accommodate entrances in compliance with municipal standards.
And condition 6, verification of the Director of Operations by way of a staff report that lots can accommodate entrances in compliance with municipal standards.
I have a question about point number 4. Looking at where they're situated, aren't they situated on a municipally maintained assumed road currently?
Yeah.
Just that point 4 says that the road in front of the properties in question be brought up to an approved municipal standard.
It should say maintained. So that was something that we've added in the past few years, making sure that any roadway in front of, so instead of it saying being brought up to an approved standard, that it is maintained at an approved standard if there's any entrances going off of that road.
I think that would have to be reworded because that number 4 really has no, it's a moot point because the road is a municipally maintained, the way this is worded, that the road in front of the properties in question be brought up to an approved municipal standard. This here is a township-owned assumed road that would be up to municipal standard. So I don't understand. I'm trying to figure out why this point
is. So does that mean if there's any damage done to the road during the entrance up?
That it's maintained. If there's any damage done to it, that it is maintained at that standard. Yeah.
But that's part of the entrance permit requirement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. This was just a standard clause that we were asked 2 years ago to include it on any consent application. So.
Anything further? Hearing nothing, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 22336, that the proposed consent for a lot addition to 4P2R-17321, parts 1 and 4, as applied for by the TB Consulting on behalf of Paul LeBlanc in application number B33-2022 McKellar, be approved subject to the following conditions: 1, confirmation from the owner's solicitor that the lots will merge, and payment of any applicable fees. May I have a mover and a second, please? Councilor Riley, Councilor Moore. John, would you like to speak to this one, please?
Certainly, Your Worship, this is an application that's reconfiguring two small lots that historically existed in this area. They're both vacant. The property owners are reconfiguring them, I believe, to make them more viable in terms of future use. I'm not seeing anything in terms of planning concern. The lots, some of the lots that don't front on the water or no waterfront, I'm not seeing that as a critical issue in the short term. In the long term, they should probably be corrected in terms of having the appropriate zoning. I'll answer any questions if I can. Thank you.
Since you finished your sentence with that it should be noted that the retained lot does not front on water and its zoning should be changed in a subsequent zoning bylaw update. So we just had a situation here where there's a recommendation where that there be a I'm just trying to make sense of the when would this rezoning take place? Wouldn't it be at this point in time? And what would the zoning be? Would it be RR as well? Rural residential?
I think that's the appropriate zoning for the reconfigured non-waterfront lot portion of this transaction.
Would one of the requirements, just because we had made that one of the requirements of the previous consent, would that be one of the requirements in this consent that rezoning takes, or the change in the zoning designation takes place at this time?
It can. I'm not sure what the timing of the applicants are. I don't know what their aspirations were. If they're not in a hurry, obviously the zoning was erroneous to begin with. That error is not changing unless they're wanting to proceed to a building permit. So again, it's up to council if they want to embark upon rezoning to these neighbors.
Councilor, speak to that. I don't feel that to change from a waterfront zone to RR zone is those are very compatible uses in our bylaw, and I don't feel there's a big rush to do it at all. It could be a housekeeping thing to do it whenever there was a zoning rezoning done or a look at the complete zoning bylaw done. That's my view on it. I do have a bit of a concern in understanding this application. Whenever I look at Plan 17321, it involves Lot 55 on Plan 142, but it doesn't involve any other part of this. And it has a special provision zoning, 16.39, that's never been mentioned in the application or the planning report. I realize it's still waterfront, but it should reference that special provision zoning, I think. And the lot addition should have that same zoning applied to it.
Any comments, John?
No, we did pick that up, and we're really uncertain as to the whole zoning discrepancies at this little development at the end of this road. So it was very curious to us, but we're not sure anything turns on any of that. But if it was part of the rezoning condition, if that's what you wanted to apply, it could be done. I'm not recalling what the old special provision was on the zoning, but I did recognize that it was there.
It's basically just the same as the waterfront, only it references the plan and the part numbers in the plan. So this would just this addition would be it'll have a new plan, right? once this consent goes through, there'll be a new plan for this lot addition, so it would be referenced in the special provision too. I'm not sure whether that requires a rezoning or not. You'd have to speak to that.
Again, it depends on the aspirations of the owners and what they want to do with the property. If there's no urgency, you know, they might take it in stride. But if there's an urgency, perhaps that should be something that they want to proceed with in terms of further application.
I'm not sure I understand that, John.
I guess I'm saying I don't know if it matters because I don't know enough about what they want to do with the property.
What was the number of the special provision?
16.39. So right now the plan is, if this consent goes through, is the lot addition would just stay as waterfront then, not part of the special provision, yet the other half of the lot that's being added to would be special provision. They'd have two different zonings.
That's correct.
So how do we move it forward? We move it forward as is, or we can make an addition. Or we can wait until for the what Bruce talking about for later application.
I don't think there becomes a later application. That's what I don't understand. I don't know what that later application is. I think now's the time to do it, to make it part of that special provision.
So is the special provision due to that it doesn't meet the zone requirements?
Yes. I believe so. Yeah. Smaller lot sizes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are you suggesting as an addition?
Well, I was asking John if it needs to be, in order to make this lot addition part of that special provision, is it a rezoning application or is it just a housekeeping thing to add it to the special provision?
Well, I think it really depends on what version of the bylaw applies. I think that's into the transition as well, but you want to regularize this, make the condition that land be rezoned to recognize their final configurations, and then you're done with it.
So,
So
would the final configurations, if the special provision 16.39 recognizes they're not conforming with the required lot sizes, are the consents taking place, will they be conforming? No, nope. So it would be to keep the special provision in place then.
I didn't follow that.
So I think what Mike was saying is that the special provision 16.39 would stay in place, but this newly configured lot would now be Parts 1 and 4 of Plan 42R17321 and Part 1 or whatever of the new plan for the lot addition, and it would be a special provision recognizing this still a smaller lot than what the bylaw requires, right? Is that right, John?
Yeah, there was a provision in the bylaw that was replacing the old bylaw that said any consent approved by council of the planning board would have been deemed to comply with the requirements of the relevant zoning. So if we have to go back to old school, we simply say subject to rezoning to reflect the reconfigured lots.
So it does require rezoning, then, is what you said.
Yeah. Okay.
Took a long time to get there, but I guess we're there.
So we've added in number 3, subject to rezoning to reflect the reconfigured lots. Any other comments, questions? You're okay with everybody? Call the question. All in favor? Carried. Council Township of Carrick hereby received the approved minutes of the August 10, 2023 meeting of the Township of McKellar Sesquicentennial Ad Hoc Committee. Mover and second, please. Council Miller, second. Council Riley, any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 22338, be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar hereby received the approved minutes of the May 26, 2022 meeting of the Township McKellar Recreation Committee. Mover and second, please. Councilor Ryan, Councilor Moore, is there any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Resolution 22339, be it resolved that the Council of Township Governors hereby received the approved minutes of the May 4, 2022 meeting of the McKellar Historical Committee. Move and second. Mr. Meskin, second. Any discussion? Call a question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 22340, be resolved the Council of Township Governors hereby received the approved minutes of the July 14, 2022 meeting of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee. Mover and second. Council Kekkonen, second. Council Riley, any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Good job to all the committees. Okay, moving on to various staff reports. First one is the, we have a swim report. So we have resolution 22341 that the Council of Township McKellar is hereby receive the summer 2022 swimming lessons report submitted by Evelyn Brewster. Mover and second. Councilor Mover, Councilor Riley. Is there any discussion?
Just would add that, suggestions we'll try to incorporate then in the swimming lessons next year.
Yeah, so the rec committee will take over. All right, call a question. All in favor? Yeah. Resolution 22342, be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar is hereby received the August 22 account payable preliminary check run reports for information. Mover and second, please. Councilor Kekkonen, Councilor Ryan. Any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 22343, that the Council of Township Governors hereby receive Public Works Report PW 2022-04 boat launches, and that the Council of Township of McKellar does direct staff to purchase signage for all township boat launches, and further direct the staff to move forward with the purchase of a new dock for the boat launch at Lakeside Drive. Need a mover and a second here, please? Councilor Moore? Councilor Haskell? You want to speak to it, Jack?
Just the dock situation at Lakeside. There's been quite a few complaints over the last few years about elderly people in particular boarding in and out of the boat once it's launched. This would help make it a lot more safer. Is that simple?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you're going to get rid of some signage and replace with, one on your side of the boat ramps. Because I was going to suggest to Seguin, I noticed a couple of years ago I was down on Lake Isabella at their boat ramp, and I was looking at their sign, which was very nice and had incorporated all that. So I don't know if you've already
decided. Yeah, well, I like the town of Parry Sound. They really have theirs neat and tidy, so
right.
Similar to one of their signs.
Yeah, they're probably similar.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay. No, that's good.
Any other comments? Councilor Pickin?
Yeah, I'm glad there's people in attendance here from Lakeside, so that's not a big surprise that a dock is going to be installed there. So.
Any other questions? Call the question. All in favor? Carry. Resolution 22-344, that the Council of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive Public Works Report PW 2022-05, speed limit extension for information purposes. May I have a mover and a second, please? Councillor Moore and Councillor Jack. Greg, you want to speak to that too? I've had concerns.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so, I mean, everybody knows that we've had this construction ongoing for the past couple of years, so during the construction, it's a total blackout. In that construction zone, meaning that nobody else can do any work in that zone unless you subcontract out the Fowler construction or the head construction company. So I didn't think we really wanted to go that route. I inquired, just for instance, I inquired for the light down at Boundary just to see what the extra would be. And to get that light in down there is about $15,000 extra. So I thought that wouldn't be a good idea to put some signs up. We would wait. So the blackout period, they didn't tell me when it was going to end, but I assume it will end when the warranty period is up, which is likely November 1st of this year. So once that warranty period's up, then they will grant us permission. Now, Mr. Kraft from MTO has packaged together and sent to his upper management for approval. So it is being done, it is being worked on. So we hope to have news back from them as soon as they let us know.
So exactly what is going to happen?
Exactly?
Yeah. So when the black zone or where is it?
So when they tell me
an ongoing problem. So
they'll extend they'll put their signs up. So this is MTO, puts their 50 kilometers signs up. The only thing that we'll be involved with is the electronic signs.
Right.
Okay, so, and that comes at, whenever, it's up to them, right?
Okay, all right, so those two things will happen. So,
yep.
My concern is that I've circulated everybody with a bit terse, to say the least. That was quite a nasty draft I was going to send off to the MTO. Because it's been 20 years, and 12 years that I've been here. We wanted a community safety zone recommended by the public, by our citizens. With the new highway going through, they're going faster and faster. Someone is going to get killed, in my opinion. And unless we come down harder on them and get them to react even further and make it a community safety zone and control it with OPP. It doesn't matter if we have a school here. It doesn't matter if we have sidewalks here. Those things are irrelevant. If the community wants it to be a community safety zone, they should listen to the community. not listen to some regulations that they have. That's my concern. They're not listening to what the municipality is saying. And there's going to be a problem. So I like all these things, great. We got to do all those things, but we got to go further with MTO and really strongly urge them to make us a community safety zone per se. And to draft a nicer letter off to them, but a firm letter saying that the council has unanimously agreed that we want a community safety zone in McKellar. That's simple.
So last spring, it was talked about that we would put these electronic signs up to gather the data. That would be forwarded to the OPP, and then they could forward their data to MTO stating that this, you know, municipality really does need a community safety zone. No questions about it. It's not just a bunch of people wanting it. That is concrete proof right there that we need it. That's my idea, getting these electronic signs up, is then we have concrete proof. There's none of this hearsay stuff while the community wants it. Does the community deserve it? We don't know.
It's not hearsay. Take a look. I drive it. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. They're passing me left, right, and center.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but it's time to, we got to say something from a council point of view that we really request a community safety zone from this community. Because of all the events that we hold here, all the movement of things, someone's going to get nailed. So I'm very concerned about it from our perspective. That we've got to take one more step at it. All we can do is say no. But we've got to be firmer, I think, and have a resolve from council saying the community, we believe for the safety of our community, we need a community safety zone in on the 124 corridor in the village of McKellar. It's that simple.
Regulator?
Just some clarity in your report here, Greg. The analysis and discussion, it says that the community safety zones have been turned down by the OPP and MTO until
we get the data.
That's right.
Mr. Mayor, could I add one thing to this?
No. Okay. After we finish discussion. You can ask questions later at the question period. So I know it was a pretty harsh letter because I was ready to send it off to our lawyers and our insurance people, etc., saying that you're responsible if something happens because you're not doing it.
But
we can't do it that way. I know that.
The problem is,
I was a little ticked at the time.
So MTO is taking the step right now to ensure safety. And that means no parking on the highway. Yes. So how much do you want to push MTO around?
Well, when did that happen, but no parking on there? Why are those extra lanes already along there for parking for all sorts of events? Except for by the market.
That's what I mean.
But I thought it sounded like it was all the way up past the community.
You're not allowed to park anywhere along the highway. They can't grant you permission to park along the highway. If they grant you permission to park along the highway, they're going to take all the liability.
So they could have all retired with tickets on Saturday.
It's just the way it is. We have to, and that's the whole idea of this ball diamond moving thing. We're not allowed to park on the highway. McDougal School had to move their fireworks. They're not allowed to park on the highway. It's that simple. Dunchurch, Whitestone took the steps this year. They bought the place beside their community center so they could have parking because it's going up there too. There's no parking on the highway. It's just the way it is. There's more and more traffic on these roads nowadays than there's ever been, especially these last few years. So MTO does not want to take that. They will not grant us permission to park on the highway.
But if I understand correctly, their intent is to propose signage to the bridge.
That's right.
So they don't have any, they may not agree with it, they may not approve it, but they don't have any enforcement beyond the bridge to stop parking out here. The OPP doesn't have anything to lay charges because there's not going to be any signage. Right.
Okay. We'll see what, you know what, it's gone to their whatever provincial, wherever it goes, and we'll find out what the wording is going to say, right? I can't say, all I know right now it's Minerva Park along that area. Whether they're going to continue through the village, I couldn't tell you.
Well, Ryan Herbrand's report said to the bridge, basically, the way I understood it.
I would like to know what we have to do to get a community safety zone here. What steps do we have to follow now? Do we need a resolution from council? So do we need to get data? I mean,
you could.
That's an excuse.
No, no. What I would do is get a petition. Get somebody to get a petition in the community. That really does help. And then a letter from council, and go along with a letter from council, and send it in. You know what? And tell them what the citizens are concerned about.
Yeah.
It won't hurt. Like, it's already in process as far as getting the extension and all that. It won't hurt that process.
Okay.
So, you know, why not?
They don't want to force what we've already done.
That's what I mean. Like, that's already in process.
So moving forward, we can get someone in the community to start up a survey.
Yes.
And then we can also get a resolution from council and forward both those things to them. That makes sense to everybody?
The only thing is that I wanted to reinforce what Greg said is that you may be poking the bear, because if you're sending off petitions and saying it's a community safety zone, then MTO may decide that there has to be signage all the way through the building or village, so then the OPP would be enforcing it.
We'll send another resolution, so we don't agree with you there. Well, somebody's got to say something to them at some point. I hate being bureaucratically regulated when it's a common sense situation. So, anyway. Okay, so we have this report, and we have a resolution, and from what I understand, that we can do potentially do a petition and a resolution from council, and put those two together and send them forward.
So, yes, there's a major concern for probably a decade of citizens requesting a community safety zone along that stretch of highway. But from understanding where the MTO and the OPP come from, is that if they have a community safety zone, they need to be able to enforce it, and they need to have the manpower to be able to patrol and do that enforcement. So to have a community safety zone is a good step in a good direction, but the OPP need to have all their decisions where they locate cruisers and where they patrol is all data-based. That's what they look at. They look at their stats, and they see where the highest issues are within the whole West Perry Sound District. And so they have to allocate those resources where it's required the most, and I think that's what they're waiting for here is the digital signs to go up so they have those stats to verify that, you know, that is a place that those resources need to be allocated to enforce that. So everything's in process. It's slow in the making, but that's what their expectations are, and hopefully it moves along. And petition, if that helps, that would be good too.
You pay a lot of money to OPP, and maybe should be taking better action. Okay, so we have the resolution. Do we want to add any of that, or just how do you want to deal with the petition and the future article later? Is this an understanding that we're going to go ahead with that, or somebody is? I have a few suggestions. How do you want to proceed? I can agree with the report. I have no problem with the report. I have a problem with steps to make it happen. So. What's your suggestion? Anybody?
Well, I think we'll accept the report, and more thought will have to be put into it. We don't want, like Brad suggested, you know, poking a bear. I think if we approach it somehow, just right now, to figure out the best way to approach it, I'm not quite sure.
Well,
I think maybe a good place to start is just to get some a bit of a timeline when they expect that this blackout period is going to end, so that we can get those electronic speed signs up. So we know, is this going to be... We were expecting these speed signs to go up this past spring. Like, I think that's when the permit process started. So I think we need to know when there's an expectation that these signs, the permits can be processed and these signs can go up. And if we hear back that it's going to be a year from now, well, then we need to get sending some petitions and getting this moving forward.
Yes, go ahead.
If we petition MTO to put up the electronic signs sooner, do you think they would consider that? No?
Well, put it this way. We can put them up sooner, but we're going to have to pay.
Yeah.
So.
What kind of money?
I don't know. Well, okay. It was a $7,000 light turned into $23,000, so that's how quick it goes up.
Okay.
Like, it's not cheap, because you're paying for everything. You're paying for gas, mileage, trucks.
Okay.
Whoever the flag, it's a nightmare. They really don't want you out there. Yeah.
So how does this process work? Right, that we have the lights. Do we hire a shipment or somebody to put them up?
We can install them ourselves.
You can install them.
Yes.
And MTO will let you do that. Install them on the highway.
Yeah, they'll mark where they can go. And, yeah. So it's our labor that we put them up on their property.
So it just indicates the speed limit, so people slow down because they see they're going 75 in a 50
that's
zone.
Right.
But there's no recording of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, those are all recorded and documented?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. So that's the documentation. If I give Jeremy, just say the number for that, he can just dial it up and say, hey,
okay, that's
you
data.
You guys should go here tomorrow and sit at 9 o'clock in the morning. There's a bunch of them come through at 9 and stuff like that. No. That's the great thing about these electronic signs. I know everybody wants it up, but this, you know, Jeremy really wants them because then he doesn't have to send a guy down here for a bunch of people doing 50. He can send a guy down here and watch for a bunch of guys doing 80 or 90.
And that's staff sergeant.
Pardon?
Staff sergeant.
Yeah, yeah. So do we poke the bear yet? Or do we do what Mike says and just get maybe more of a concrete date first? I can do that. I just been leaving them alone for the last couple of months because I felt like I was poking the bear this spring, trying to get things going. But I can make another phone call and a few more emails, no big deal, and try and get a firmer date. It might be even next spring. Who knows? But at least we have a date, and then we can say, here's a letter.
Okay, so we're finishing the blackout zone. We're going to get the electronic signs up, which will give us data. We could be working on a petition, and we could be working on a council resolution to support all that.
Might as well
over time.
You might as well start working on the petition sooner rather than later.
The sooner the better.
Yeah. And get one of the people from the community to do it.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
I agree.
And we can download
I think we
data.
Have some people who are very interested.
We can download the data from the electronic sign at any point once it's up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Independently, we don't have to go through MTO or anything.
No, it'll be our. It's ours.
Okay.
It's our data.
I give out that information to whoever I want to.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm just adding to the resolution.
And hopefully something gets done.
Oh, it's all a nasty draft. Not my passion, just a nasty draft. Okay, when we're adding in it further, the Director of Operations will inquire with MTO on a time estimate for the lifting of the blackout zone. What should we say? And implementing the...
Well, Greg,
time zones? Okay, that's...
Greg will put the signs in.
Perfect. As soon as that's done, right?
Right.
Okay. Any other questions?
So, can you read the resolution again?
All of it, or just about last half?
Just doesn't look that long.
And further, the Director of Operations will inquire with MTO on a time estimate for the lifting of the blackout zone.
So, yeah, I think maybe it needs to be expanded on a little bit more. Just blackout zone. So that we have a firm timeline of when the electronic speed signs can be installed.
That's what I was saying before.
Yeah.
In order to implement the electronic speed signs in a timely manner or something. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we need a written response so we know what's where things are at.
Thanks. I'll read the second part here. Further, Director of Operations will inquire with the MTO on a timeline estimate for the lifting of the blackout zone in order to have a firm timeline for installing electronic speed monitoring signs. Okay, any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Good. Thank you. Resolution 22345, that the Council of Township McKellar has hereby received Public Works Report PW 2022-06, Zulak Harris McKellar Property Exchange. Mover and seconder. Councilor Mueller, second. Councilor Kekkonen. Greg, you want to speak to them as well, too, please?
Yeah, well, both those properties, anytime we can clean up these issues of trespassing, we should take that advantage and go ahead and get it done sooner rather than later, because later the property is going to change hands and we could be running into difficulties, and this is a simple way of cleaning up some issues.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to speak on that, and I have been working with Mr. Zulak, and he has received a letter from me giving him the go-ahead. So he is moving ahead with his plans. So we hopefully that'll get wrapped up fairly quickly. Greg had said that he was going to contact Ms. Harris in regards to her property. So hopefully we can move that one forward as well.
Any other comments? Call the question. All in favor? The Round Bay Parking. Resolution 22346, that the Council of Township McKellar has hereby received Public Works Report PW 2022-07, Brown Bay Road Parking, and further, the Council of Township McKellar directs staff to contact the MNRF to apply for a work permit to construct the parking area on Crown Lane. Mover and seconder, please. Councilor Moore, Councilor Lane. Again, Greg, you have the floor.
That just threw me off a little bit there, what you were...
I've got it reworded.
Hey?
I have it reworded.
Oh, okay.
Which one?
The one you just talked about.
This one?
Yeah.
The parking?
Yeah. Just read it again.
Okay, the Council of Township McKellar has received Public Works Report 2022-07, Brownlee Road Parking, and further, that the Council of Township McKellar directs staff to contact MNRF to apply for a work permit to construct a parking area on Crown Land.
Well, that should be the applicant, then, the property owner, not the township.
Do you want me to read what I have on it? So, I talked to Greg today, and I reworded this, that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby receive Public Works Report PW 2022-07, Brownlee Road Parking, and further, that the Council of Township McKellar directs staff to contact Jean Harvey to let her know that there is no municipal land available in the area, and she'll have to contact MNRF for a work permit to construct a parking area on Crown Land.
That sounds better.
Are you clear now?
Yes.
Okay. sir.
So, in regards to the Crown land where this work permit would be applied for, would it be on the north? Okay, so Brown Road comes in. There's the old Boys Cups camp, and that's Crown land. And then from when it continues on, just past Little Bear Lane, it goes up sort of north, and it joins with a northern township concession, which to the left of that, where that intersection is, there's Crown land up there as well. So I'm just wondering, is an option that there be an unopened road allowance agreement that they could park on the side of the unopened road allowance on the northern, on that northern concession?
I mean, we could grant that permission, but the problem is with the public land, and same as Crown land, it's public parking. You can build a parking lot, but anybody can park there. That's the problem. Whether they get permission from us to build a parking lot or M&R, anybody can use that parking lot.
In both situations?
Both situations. Because it's public.
The only thing I would say to that is the township only has a 66-foot road allowance for the public to travel on. Back in there, there's hundreds of acres of Crown land, so the Crown can grant an area that is not encumbered by anybody else here. You know, like there's lots of room back there. It could be any one of those Crown lots.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. There's a lot more room on the Crown land. Mm-hmm.
So what we've added in, just with the bridges thought process here, that the direct staff to contact Gene Harvey to let her know that there's no municipal land available in the area and that she will have to contact MNRF to apply for a work permit to construct a parking area on Crown Lane. Does that make sense? Any other questions? Call the question, all in favor? Carried. Resolution 22347, that the Council of Township McCutter is hereby received Public Works Report PW 2022-08, Winter Maintenance of Municipal Roads for the 2022-23 winter season, and that the Council of Township McCutter does hereby accept the Director of Operations recommendation to renew the snow removal contract with Lawson Landscapes, Inc., Kyle Lawson, for the 2022-23 winter season, the amount of $52,525. Plus HSD for a total of $59,353 for winter maintenance of the municipal roads, following municipal roads and facilities. Charles Avenue, Craigmore Drive, Elizabeth Avenue, Fire Route 200, Lakeview Crescent, Kirk Avenue, Island View Drive, Braemar Boulevard, Phillip Avenue, Susan Avenue, Fire Station Number 1 on Sharon Park Drive, and Fire Station 2 on Herdville Road, Deerfield Lane, Bay Drive, Fire Route 152, 152A, 152B, and further that the term of contract shall be November 1st, 22 to April 30th, 2023. Need a mover and a second here, please. Councilor Mover, second. Councilor Ryan?
Yeah.
Greg, do you want to speak to him again?
Yeah, sure. So this will likely, I'm hoping, be our last year with the contract, but as long as I get this truck in place and manpower in place by next winter. So you probably won't see this again unless we need the service. But, yeah, we look forward to getting a new truck to replace this cost, and we can share the truck amongst the other 365 days of the year, too. So it's not lost money.
Yeah, Council.
Do you have an idea how many kilometers we're talking about on those roads? I'm not saying do you know. I'm just saying do you know.
You know, yeah, probably was it eight, probably.
Yeah.
And then the travel time, right? Then you got fire halls.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you can follow a 2 kilometer road by the time you do a fire hall. So.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
The estimate from Lawson's, is it going to be corrected to include Bay Drive and a clear definition or clear direction?
Okay. Any further discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
When we're talking like for a substantial amount of money like this, I think it's always good that it goes out through the procurement process just to see if there's competition to ensure that, you know, the taxpayers' dollars are being spent wisely. Again, sort of, there's always the opportunity to continue or renew existing contracts, I can see, and, based on they have done excellent service in the past. It's probably the way to go this time, but I agree with you.
It's just I noticed with a lot of the contractors now, to get a private individual to plow municipal roads, so he pays insurance per road. It's that costly for insurance. So not a lot of contractors now want to plow for the municipality because it's per road. So we're like $3,000 per road, $4,000 per road. It's just outrageous the amount of insurance that he has to pay for to plow our roads. Yeah.
So that's good to know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions? Call the question off, favor. Gary, thank you. Resolution 22348, that the Council of Township of Kettering has hereby received Treasury Report P2022 Insurance Renewal of 2022-23 Municipal Insurance Policy, and that the Council of Township of Kettering has accepted the Treasurer's recommendation to renew the Municipal Insurance Policy with intact public entities in the amount of $90,471 plus applicable taxes. Mover and second, please. Councilor Ryan, Councilor Muir, I'm going to ask Roshan to speak to it, please.
Sure, Mr. Chair. This is a renewal of the insurance for 1 year, starting September 19, 2022 to September 19, 2023. The renewal, as you can see, is being increased to $90,471. Last year, that is before taxes, and last year the cost was $676,000. That's an increase of 17.53%. The main reason of increase is that the, as per the insurance companies, that the current market is really hard market for the insurance because there's less supplier for the insurance product, but more user of the products. So that's the main reason of the increase in the cost of the insurance. Other increases, obviously, the impact of the environment, COVID-19, and the loss of the properties, and the liability and severe joint. Those are the main reason for the increase in the cost. To give you some reference, I have also included the quote from the medical insurance. And their quote is $107,340. And that's it, thank you.
Questions?
Yeah, these are incredible increases. It wasn't long ago it was $38,000 per year, and we're just talking a couple of years ago, so this inflation is going to be pretty significant in future tax bills.
I just want to add, in the last 3 years, the insurance, especially the last, from 2019, the insurance market was really hard market for the insurance companies. And last year, insurance cost increased by 23%, and this is this year 17%.
That's 40% 2 years.
Yeah.
What you're saying. Put it in real terms. Okay. What I'd like to see it with the new council would be that they do a whole RFP on insurance at the start of council, so you have some 4 year thing to get it completely reviewed. That would be my suggestion. Any further discussion? All the question, all in favor? Carried. Resolution 22349, that the Council of Township McAdams hereby receive the Fire Department Report FD-2022-03 for information. Mover and second, please. Councilor Haskin, second. Councilor Ryan. Any discussion? I know I certainly appreciate, I'm sure Council does, appreciates these reports. They're excellent.
Just a quick question. Why does it say confidential?
It's not supposed to. I've told them before.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not.
Any other discussion? Call the question. All in favor, carried. Thank you. Yeah, I won't do all that. It's rather long. We're doing so many good things. But I do want to acknowledge that we thank Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II for her long 70 years of loyal and dedicated service. And we wish His Majesty King Charles III a similar successful reign. I am wearing her special Jubilee pin that I was given, so just so you know. And I will be going to Whitestone next Monday at 10:30. They're doing a commemorative thing to the Queen at their cenotaph. So this happened yesterday. So I would like to congratulate, as we did at the market, Vivian Moore, who's our recipient of the Provincial Senior of the Year Award. It was well deserved, and the tribute will be given to staff to host. Again, the market. I don't know what else we can say about the market. They had eight beautiful sunny Saturdays, full attendance, great vendors, great volunteerism, and thanks to Jan and Rob for all their hard work. There's two markets left, which is Thanksgiving and Christmas. What I understand that the people who did vandalize the arena and the Balsam Trail have been apprehended. And are being dealt with by the OPP. That's my understanding. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. There's an all-candidates meeting coming up on September the 17th. And I do want to thank Greg Ochojevich. Is that close?
Anton Havich.
Oh, I was almost got one of it right. Anyway, he's just a wonderful and generous person who has been doing golf tournaments for the last few years. And has made donations to a lot of different things, but he's just finished donating over time $7,000 to the Herdsville Community Fund. So that was much appreciated. And we should be thanking we have a swim instructor, Evelyn Brewster, our T-ball organizer, Rick Greer, and our library intern. Our ambassador was a lady named Summer Knight. So they should all be thanked for all their help this summer. There's a lot of other things going on, but I'll just leave to the last two things. One is that we warmly welcome Carly Britton, our new deputy clerk and planning assistant, which finally completes our full complement of staff after 3 years of fun. Our traditional annual Agricultural Society's Fall Fair was back after 3 years COVID break. It started in 1875. It was just excellent. Great weather, great exhibits, activities, events, vendors, and visitors. And we just special thanks to Cam Ward and his many, many volunteers from the Agricultural Society. Just well done. So, there's a bunch of reports on the Cottage Rental Committee. The main one I think that's important is that we're supposed to have a public meeting. We're trying to get a PowerPoint presentation together for Sunday, October the 2nd at 9 o'clock in the Community Center. Oh, and the 150th committee is meeting, and they're trying to come up for October to give us an outline of their program for the next year. It's a draft program, but they've had great success in selling T-shirts and commemorative 150th anniversary flags and calendars at the historical calendar at the various events. Rec committee is starting the fall schedule. Do you have a quick put down?
We have a meeting next week, so okay. We'll start planning it all.
Okay. Okay, there's a bunch of depositions that I would like to see council here before it ends. One is the have the MLC come in and do the water testing report to us, which is an annual thing. The second one is we have a resident from McKellar named Tammy McKenzie, who's the new head of DSAB, and they've just done a strategic plan. So I think it'd be worthwhile to have her make a presentation to council and to have the Ridge of Manitou give their annual environmental report to council. Etc. So there's lots of things going up. This will be posted and circulated to the chairs and staff and council tomorrow. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's two quick things I just got today. Is at Island View Farms, we had two riders compete in the provincial hunter championships, and one of them came first, Alexis Chris Weber and her pony Empire Super Mario were champions in the short stirrup division, and Abby Stewart of Island View Farm was with her horse Jumpin' Jack Flash competed for the first time and secured a 4th, 7th, 9th, and 10th. So way to go for all of them. They did an excellent job. So. And the last thing that just came in was that there is a cottage seminar. Again, you have to register for this. It's all about tax planning and that when you deal with your cottage rentals. So that's through the environmental committee. So just so you know, I'll certainly do the post in there. So. But any questions? Resolution 22-350 be resolved. The Township of McKellar does hereby support Resolution 22-08-3102 of the Township of Coleman, whereas the Federal Electoral Boundaries Commission of Ontario have proposed the elimination of one riding in Northern Ontario and redistribution of the remaining electoral ridings, and where there is a potential for the province of Ontario to adopt federal electoral boundaries to establish provincial electoral boundaries, which would repeat the negative effects on provincial representation for the people and communities of Northern Ontario, and therefore the ability to effectively represent diverse rural communities continued. Therefore, the ability to effectively represent diverse small rural communities continues to be eroded with the loss of electoral ridings in Northern Ontario. We have a mover and a second. Councillor Heston, we have a second. Councillor Ryan, can I speak to it all?
I would support this because I don't want to see that tendency where the Ontario and federal governments decide that they're going to start reducing the roles of the people in Northern Ontario.
Any other comments? Okay. Hearing none, call a question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 22-351, be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar is hereby appoint the following persons to the West Parry Sound Joint Election Compliance Audit Committee: Judy Kuhn, Larry Simons, and Peter Spazinski. Move in second, please. Councillor Heston, Councillor Bradley. Is there any discussion? Yes.
So, yeah, maybe.
So we've appointed, or we passed the bylaw, I believe, in June to form the committee. These are three of our four required auditors. We're still looking for one for the seven municipalities that work jointly. These three people are experienced in election finances,
and they are the ones who will do any kind of investigation on any kind of concerns for election finance reporting.
Okay, thank you.
We're still working on one, but we're working on that jointly. Hopefully we will have them appointed in October.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 22352, whereas the Council of Township McKellar has applied for a grant from the Northern Ontario Heritage Fund Corporation, NOHFC, to aid in the renovation of St. Stephen's Church located in Broadbent, and whereas further to information dated August 11, 2022, is feedback related to the NOHFC project file number 750075. Nice name. One of the requirements for the grant is to be considered is a resolution from Council supporting the project financially. And whereas the Council of Township McKellar deems it appropriate to proceed with this worthwhile project as a budgeted item, allocating $50,000 in the 2022 approved capital budget with an additional $89,750 available in the Cultural Reserve Fund to cover any legitimate cost overruns. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar has hereby agreed to financially support this renovation project moving forward in a timely manner, and further be resolved that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby assure the NOHFC that the Township McKellar will aid in the funding of the renovation project and will cover any legitimate cost overruns beyond those funded by NOHFC that might occur as a result of the completion of this project. Move in a second, please. Councillor Kekkonen and Councillor Ryan. Roshan, do you want to speak to it or no?
I'll let Mike Kekkonen speak.
So this is the same resolution that was passed, I think, approximately 3 months ago. And just, actually, did say here, August
11th.
Yeah, so we got the feedback from the previous resolution that was passed, I believe, in July, and the resolution at that time didn't have any specific numbers, and they wanted to have some firm commitment. So, and the amounts here that are mentioned are having raised some of it raised by the historical committee through fundraising for the specific project. And there has been some allocated through the years by council for these projects. And as well, there's at the end of the fiscal year, then any money left in the historical budget has been allocated to these projects as well.
Okay. Any further discussion? Can I ask you how much is the grant if we get the grant?
We applied almost $160,000.
Okay. So good. Yeah. So, and that's the goal, is that the grant of $160,000 will cover all costs. These committed amounts are just in case there are any overruns to the project. So it's hopefully, basically, a fully funded project through the NOHFC.
Okay, any other discussion? We're finally going to get this one done, hopefully.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Here we go. Be more of these little hydro.
Well, it probably will be one day.
All right, call the question. All in favor?
I'm not inside, though.
Inside something.
There we go. Just with this next resolution dealing with the terms of reference with the rental committee, Just to bring you up to date, when we reconfirmed and started meeting in June of this year, we found out that we didn't have a lot of information. We didn't have we'd gone beyond the year of having an ad hoc committee report, so we had we really didn't have a constitutional aspect to have the terms of reference. Our numbers were beyond what was in the terms of reference. So the committee rewrote the terms of reference, and somehow we would like to get them before council so we could be legitimate as we go forward. We have our all our terms that they have, the committee has approved, and we have all the members approved with the resource people. So we just have to get them forward to the clerk to bring forward to council. So if we could just hold this one until we get it, you get the proper one, because what you do is got the old terms of reference, which are not what we approved as a committee. So, you know, just for example. So there's a bunch of things in here that need to change. So if that's okay with everybody.
Come on.
Do any questions you've got? Okay. Then the last one we have. Okay. Resolution 22353, the Township of Keller authorized the mayor and the clerk administrator to execute an agreement with Cogeco Cable Canada LP as set out in attached Schedule A to renew the land lease for a period of 10 years. Mover and seconder, please. Councilor Moore, second. Councilor Peckin. Just to give you a little background, and I'll turn it over to the staff. We've been working with Whitestone to try and procure fiber in the area, and we received a joint $12 million grant at some point in time. The provincial government now wanted everything done by 2025. So this is the one of the their suggested agreement to deal with this particular process. So the staff has looked at it, and what do they think of it generally?
I think we're fine to go ahead and intervene. It's just
Is it formality?
It's just basically a formality.
Okay. I did have one concern, but I'll bring it up. I mean, anybody else have any general concerns of what the agreement is?
Yeah, it's very lacking in detail. Cogeco is hereby granted permission and authority to maintain a self-support tower, two satellite dishes, and a 10x10 building. So how tall is this self-support tower?
It's the existing.
Oh, it's the one that's currently there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's existing. We're all we're doing is renewing what they have.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how tall it is.
Right.
The ones are 35 and 90 and tall.
So it's the existing.
It's the existing. Okay, all we're doing is renewing.
Right.
Just renewing what we already have?
Their contract, our contract actually has expired. So that's what they're trying to get it renewed.
So it does mention that it will provide cable and data. Are they currently providing that?
I've been yet to see anything from them providing any cable data on anything.
So if we're renewing this, then we should be receiving cable and data. I think that's pretty important considering how challenged we have been with being able to hold virtual meetings and the data transfer issues we're having. So how do we ensure that we receive what we're signing for?
Okay, so we can amend the resolution and make the renewal conditional
on receiving those things.
Is the implication that they have been? I didn't really say that. But.
Well, it's in the agreement that Mike is talking about that they shall supply the cable and or data services at no expense to the municipality.
And in the years you can hear...
It's not happening, eh?
No, not that I'm aware of. That would be a question I could get information from IT, from Dan Hildebrand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware of anything in the term that I've been here. Anything coming.
You know, more information, because they may not be able to give us anything better than we have now, possibly, but in case they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you want to talk to Dan about it.
Okay, so I suggest we defer this.
Well, my other question is that when we did the Rogers Tower and allocated land and all that sort of stuff, that we had a rental agreement and we received money which we were putting into a fund for future internet, so much a year, right? So this one is a dollar. I just find that maybe we should be asking for more of a rental situation. It's more comparable to what others are doing as income. And we're giving away stuff. That's just my own opinion. Those are two things. I think we need more data, and I think we need to negotiate.
Well, this is not at all clear that this is just a renewal. You know, when you look at the first page and second paragraph, whereas in order to render such services, it is necessary that a self-support tower, satellite dishes, and any instrument building be installed and constructed. So I want to know, is there some new construction that's being contemplated, and you know, how tall is this self-support tower? Because I think it's up to 30 meters tall that these self-support towers can have that can be constructed. So... And I did notice, same thing as Mayor Hopkins mentioned, that we are getting a fairly decent rental for the Rogers Tower in Maplewood area. And I thought, okay, well, if they're going to be providing high-speed internet,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that we seriously need. So if they're going to be providing a high-quality high-speed internet service to the township, that's a substantial benefit at this point in time, and we're currently seeking some remedies to the high-speed internet issues that we're having. So I want to ensure if we are going to agree to this, that we will be receiving this high-speed internet, and that it's going to be happening sooner than later. We've been dealing with this issue for quite a period of time now, and it needs to be resolved.
I was speaking with Dan Hildebrand yesterday, and we're looking at 2023 that they're supposed to be starting on the fiber optics through here. Whether that means we're going to get it first or not, I think my understanding is the municipalities and businesses that require the high-speed internet are supposed to be first served. I can certainly bring Dan in to have him speak to that in regards to this agreement. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already lapsed, so I mean, waiting for another month before we do anything with it, I don't think another month is going to make a difference that we can get more information.
Just
speaking to Mike's concerns about new buildings, it does say in the one below, to maintain, and I don't know whether that means to maintain that something that exists or maintain something that's going to be built.
Right.
Well, I think we need to defer and refer it to Dan and staff and come back. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Particularly because it's a 10-year agreement, so we want to make sure that we will be receiving something during those 10 years.
Is that a general consensus that we defer?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Can you call a question for deferment? All in favor? Okay. Resolution 22354. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Keller does hereby give by-law number 2022-46, being a by-law to appoint a deputy clerk of first and second reading, and further read a third time, passed in open council the 13th day of September 2022. May I have a mover and a second, please, Councillor Kekkonen? Councillor Mover? Is there any discussion? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Resolution 22355, be resolved that the Council of Township Governor does hereby receive the information and report of Tatham Engineering dated September 7, 2022, prepared upon reviewing bylaw 2022-24, codes, policy, and Schedule A. May I have a mover and a second, please? Councilor Mueller, second. Councilor Kekkonen. Any discussion? We just received it. Call a question, all in favor? Okay.
I just did those today because we just got them.
Oh.
So you won't have resolutions for those.
Okay.
So make sure that we would actually have them on time.
Resolution 22356, be resolved that the Council of Township of Keller has hereby received the information, the report from Jennifer Bigger of Russell Christie LLP, dated September 3rd, 2022, prepared upon reviewing bylaw number 2020-24, roads, policy, and Schedule A. Mover and second. Councilor Kekkonen? Councilor Ryland? Any discussion?
What? From what I read, there's some, I think, helpful information in this. So maybe, hopefully, with a meeting we can have in the near future, maybe we can get something done.
Yeah, both Tatham and Russell Christie, they were under the gun to get these reports to us in time to have them here for council meeting. So council really hasn't had a time. Any time to really review them very well. I would suggest that we have another meeting so that we can go through these reports, but that's council's decision whether they want to go ahead or.
So we're just receiving this report now.
Right.
It's the next one. Yeah. No, sir?
Yeah, I have to agree with Councillor Haskam, the Tatham Engineering and the legal opinion. Very helpful. Quite concerning that these opinions were not obtained when the first version of the roads policy went forward, even though a council resolution, I believe, in 2019 requested professional review of the roads policy. So this is, I think, a needs to be a set standard process that any significant policy that's you know, going to be the guidelines for the for any significant policy like this needs to go through a legal and a professional review.
Councilman?
in order to move this forward with this council, I think we should either direct staff to incorporate the TM Engineering and the big reports into the bylaw so it can be prepared for the next council meeting.
That we have done that.
Oh, okay.
It has been done, but again, council hasn't had an opportunity to look at the revisions in the new bylaw as okay. well. That's my concern. Like the legal report, I only got that this morning or at about 1 o'clock today. So I haven't even had an opportunity to go through it either.
Again, we're just receiving that report at this point. I mean, it's the next resolution coming up that we have to talk about when we're going to have more of a public meeting and more of a condensing of all of this piece of information into a bylaw. So I agree with that. Councilor Hassinger. But this is just to receive their report from Jennifer Brigger. That's all this is, resolution. Councilor?
I'm glad you're emphasizing that because that has always been, you know, the process when a report comes to council and the resolution says to receive the report. There was only one time that was not the case, and that's why it was such a confusing episode in this past term of council. So I'm glad you're recognizing that when we receive a report, it's that we're receiving it for information, and that no action be taken by any staff.
Anyway, any further questions? Call a question, all in favor? Carried. The third part of that is Resolution 22357, be it resolved that the Council of Township McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2022, being a bylaw to set road standards for the construction of new roads and upgrading existing roads, Township McKellar, third reading, passed in open council, 13th day of September 2022. Any mover and seconder, please? Councilor Moore, second. Councilor Kekkonen. Okay, I think it's been suggested already that we just got these, so I don't think we should be voting on this until we've had two things. One, a thorough review of it, because we've had so many variations, number one, and number two, we've had no public consultation, which is part of the understanding that was going to follow up from this. So those are two things, so I think we need to have a special meeting just to deal with it. Councilor Kekkonen?
I believe that Russell Christie, Jennifer Bigger, indicates that it seems the way it's written that she has not seen the Tatum Engineering review.
No, and I just got that. So I just got her notice today that she hasn't got it, so I have to still send that to Jennifer Bigger.
And I think vice versa.
Yes.
Tatum, look at
absolutely.
The legal opinion.
Absolutely. Said it was a rush to get what we got as quickly as we did.
So can we defer this until we have as Councillor Haskell has suggested, a follow-up meeting, and we've had a chance to really look at this?
Yes, as Ina is saying, I think a little bit more work that staff has to do to prepare this cross-referencing between Tatum and Russell and Christie, with more comments, getting it off to council, arranging a meeting for us within the next week or two would be wonderful. I don't know if that's possible. And then hopefully we can come to a decision on it and get it passed. It's been hanging around too long. Let's clean it up.
We could set something the last week of October.
Sooner than that, maybe.
I know.
Either September or October?
Or October, I'm sorry. September.
Just double check.
I wonder.
It's still a long day.
Must be ready to announce it too early.
Now we're talking.
Yes. September. The last week of September.
Something like that.
Yeah.
27? Tuesday?
Yeah. If you guys are agreeable to have daytime, it would certainly make things easier.
27, 28, 26. What's your wish?
I'd say the
27th. 29th.
27th or the 28th work with everyone?
Yes.
28th works for me, not the 27th. But
Okay.
28 a.m.?
28 is okay. So Wednesday
in the morning, one?
Two.
Can you do?
Can you do morning?
On the 28th?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm good for the whole day on the 28th.
Works for me. Morning is better on the 28th.
Okay.
Do you know morning?
Okay. Yeah,
I'm rush, sorry.
No, I'm fine. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
So we're going to
say what time?
No.
10 o'clock.
Yeah. So we're going to defer the motion. Any further discussion? Call a question. All in favor?
One more point. So the Tatum and the
I'll make sure that
as soon as possible.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow morning.
Are we going to get a copy of the offices and corporation of the?
Yeah.
Can you email
attached
that
to this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do have that.
It's attached to this.
It's this one. You got this one?
No.
This is what I have said, that this has already been updated.
Okay. Yes. Right. The one that's attached with the package I gave you today has been updated, but I still think we need to give everyone time to go through that, read it, compare it to the reports. You know, anybody can miss something, so five sets of eyes on it is a good plan.
Okay. So we're going to defer this and till the 28th
of September at 10 a.m.
Okay. All in favor?
Yeah, how long? I'm sure you don't, but I think that's...
Should have done by noon, I think.
Oh, I don't think we'd be done by noon.
Okay. Good. Now, earlier you mentioned the redline version wasn't available. Is that still accurate, or is it?
I will make sure that everybody's got the redline version.
Okay, it's here. It's this one here that's attached to this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll go through, Carly and I'll go through everything tomorrow and make sure that we've got everything. Okay. I said it was last minute getting all of that information to you guys, so...
Okay. So, moving on, I circulated a report that I gave to the heads of council as an exiting of things to consider for next year, ongoing issues, warnings, if nothing else. Some of them won't be too happy, but it's from my experience after 12 years, these are things that are issues. And the biggest one I'm worried about is an amalgamation, clearly, what license. And the new MPP has got a mandate, so beware. Councilor?
I'm just wondering why you're commenting on candidates who are running in the upcoming election and making statements that may not be even accurate.
I think they're accurate.
Well, did you fact check with the candidates? Why would you put out information in a public document like this? Have you talked to these candidates? Have you discussed?
I've heard them.
Where have you heard them?
I've heard them speak that they are not in favor of the poll.
Where did you hear them?
I've been warned by one member of council and one spoken in here.
You know, that's very concerning. Putting out.
It's true.
Is it true?
Yeah.
You can confirm that with the candidates?
Sure. Confirm with the all candidates.
But you put this out here in a public document.
I did.
I don't think that's appropriate. That's your opinion, so that's not appropriate.
That's it.
I do not believe that's appropriate.
Are you the only one? Okay. We have a consent agenda. Resolution 22358, be resolved that the Council of Township of Kelleher has hereby received a letter from Mayor Peter Hopkins addressed to the Westbury Sound Heads of Council on August 22nd, 22 regarding concerns going forward in the Westbury Sound area. Mover and seconder. Councilor Adam, second. Councilor Hasker. Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Opposed? I'm in favor. Consent agenda. Resolution 22359. That the Council of Township of Gunners hereby receive the consent agenda for correspondence. Mover and seconder, please. Councilor Mover, second. Councilor Riley, any discussion? All questions, all in favor? Okay, now we have an opportunity for members of the audience to ask questions of things on the agenda. So please stand up, state your name, and ask a question.
Ken Jackson. I just want to state that I'm very happy that the council is taking this community safety zone seriously. Three times my wife and I have tried to get a community safety zone here. Going back, Council Kekkonen said 10 years is far longer than that. Probably 15 to 20 years, I would think. And three times, well, twice it got turned down for sure. Third time, we don't know what's going to happen. All you have to do, I live right across the road for the last 35 years. On my phone right here, I have two videos that I just randomly took. It takes a few seconds to take this video, and you can see what's going on in that highway. And it has to be, something has to happen, because there will be some major lawsuits when somebody gets killed out there. And that, who cares about that? I mean, it's people's lives that we're talking about. But I mean, this needs to get done. So there will be a petition getting started in the next few days. And do what we can. But it's absolutely ridiculous that it hasn't happened 20 years ago. So.
Thanks, Ken. Question? State your name, please.
Wayne Ward. I have a Wilson Jackson sympathy here with the, it's just a safety zone. I live across the highway right at the end of the village next to the first department yard, and every day, constantly, morning and afternoon, the traffic that's coming through the village alone in the 50-kilometer zone is well in excess of the posted limit. And not only that, I have the 80-kilometer sign that begins right in front of my place. They're doing well in excess of that limit before they even reach that sign, coming in down the hill, because they're coming out of that 80 zone, and all of a sudden they're into the 50, right near the market area in front of the village. It's an accident looking for a place to happen. There's going to be a fatality sooner or later, and it just has to be slowed down. I know that Greg has mentioned about the speed signs. You know, I talk to the MGO myself, and they're telling me, oh, well, public safety is paramount with us, but you know what? Why are they dragging their feet? Like I say, you want to put the signs out, the electronic signs, but you've got to have their consultation of where you're going to put them. But maybe if we could get them out there, it might slow things down a bit. But it's like the Indianapolis 500 coming through this village all the time. So I echo Mr. Jackson's sympathy.
And I think I concur that just because it's been, the new highway has been built,
well, that's why
it's escalated even further.
The pavement is so smooth that they're just flying through there. And, you know, you can apply to the detachment commander of the OPP for selective enforcement. You can write a letter. And I would even write one myself to them. Because maybe from the outside as a citizen, we can get some selective enforcement. They've got enough guys to do a little bit of radar once in a while and slow things down and get the word around until at least we can get some proper signage and get the speed slowed down. But something has to be done in the meantime before there's going to be a fatality.
Thank you. At the back, please state your name, Mr. Moore.
David Moore. Just for historical perspective, this is again, it was all bogged down many years ago through the staff sergeant in Perry Sound. I have the letter, it's here on file as well, saying that he would not take it to North Bay, he would not recommend this to be a community safety zone, no matter what council said, and he had various reasons in there why. So that's where it all stopped.
It wasn't previous council. I want to clarify, if you thought I was leading council, we have a new detachment, it has nothing to do with council, it was MTO and MTOP.
But I'm saying pressure from council and the public has to be put on.
Well, I agree.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
I think the steps moving forward are correct. So, someone else, we state your name.
Mike Richard, I'd like to speak to the
council order to the director of operations to put the dock in at the lakeside boat ramp. Did council forget that was the spark that ignited a lot of protests from all the people in the area? They blocked the director and his staff in putting that dock in at the time. There's been no public consultation with the people in the area, and now you've gone ahead and started it all over again. It would be nice if there was some prior notice given and maybe some discussion so that people can at least see. I understand that there's a safety concern. My suggestion the last time this came up was not to put in a full 8-foot wide docking system there, because that's a unique launch. Unlike the others, which all have public beaches near them, that one is sitting between two residences, and it is essentially a residential lot where that is. So if we could put a narrower set of docks there that will allow people to get in and out safely and not encourage people to come there and hang about, go swimming in that area, because, excuse me, there are two residences on either side. It's a unique situation compared to the others. So I would just ask council to at least have some discussion with people and take consideration about the unique aspect of that particular boat launch. Thank you.
Thank you. Any others? State your name.
Gord Zulak. My lot was talking about the parkland dedication. That's why it's a lot. But it's a lot on lakeside instead of the money. So that was for parkland and or boat land, anyway. Now, I sat and I contemplate, and our township is 100 square miles. About 33 square miles, lakeside. 33 rural and 33 square miles of crown. I sat and I listened to the MNR talk and all the things that that poor individual had to do. A good man. It has to come. It has to be done. Within 2 miles, as a crow flies, the crown could go in and destroy 2,000 acres of crown land. Nobody checked for frogs. Nobody checked for turtles. Nobody checked for grasshoppers. Nobody checks for nothing. Within 2 miles. I like to be fair with people. So it's getting to the point that it's all becoming extreme. What township has 33 square miles of crown land that'll never be touched? The rest should be for us to use, to develop, within reason. So it's just sitting here a little ironic, and I was contemplating on the law of the crown, what they do. I'll go and take a walk around here. Poor guy wants to build a driveway somewhere, develop a lot for an escrow or something. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Interesting comment. I've written it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think they don't do environmental assessments on crown land, if that's what you're saying. And maybe they should be doing...
I'm sorry.
You can see it on the screen.
Should be doing environmental assessments on crown land before they destroy it. Right?
Or leave the others alone.
Okay. Anyone else have a comment? At the back, please state your name.
Suzanne Hoff. So I just wanted to expand a little bit on Michelle Richard. I live on Lakeside Drive, and it's a very windy, hilly area right on my property. And bringing more traffic through there could be very dangerous, I think, as well, if we put in a larger dock that might attract more people. So I'm liking the idea of a smaller dock if we can. Again, a lot of people walk their dogs on that road, and we've nearly gotten hit a few times already just because of the nature of the road. Will we be able to have any part in discussion with that type and so far? That's my question.
Our super is here.
I would think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Okay, you know, so you will bring it to the residents?
Well, I'll give you a couple of different problems, designs,
okay.
And then you can
You can hash it out.
Okay, good. It's just
it'll probably be the cheaper version, just to let you know.
That's good. Okay. That's good. Good.
But there are signage as well to say that there is turning going on and there's a boat launch.
So there's signs there now.
I know, but
every subdivision we put in, every road upgrade we put in, within 6 months, there's a rash, just a huge influx of people wanting slow down.
Yeah.
It just goes hand in hand. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I live on this field quite a bit, as soon as I drop out of my driveway, and you can't see my driveway, I nearly got taken out with my dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you for that. Anything else? Speech me.
Thanks to I was just curious now, 18-1 West Prairie Sound Heads of Council report. How many pages is that, Peter?
2.5.
Well, so it's not something you could read?
No, I don't think I can read it. I can just post it on the website if you want.
You could post it on
sure.
The website. But I'm just thinking, you know, people that don't have a computer or anything, you know, it would be good to know what the...
Well, it was basically my analysis of what needs to be done in the future when I'm not there. My issues, they don't all agree, I can guarantee you that. But that's not the point. The point is, I was going forward with my 15 key points of what I think is important.
So can you just briefly off the top of your head give us your 15 points?
I don't have them right here, but I'll put them.
The most important
I'll
ones?
Post them. Oh, they're all, everyone's important. No, they're dealing, the first one was definitely that the heads of council should be meeting on a regular basis to keep communication open. Didn't happen for the last year and a half. With COVID, didn't happen.
Right.
So that was a major concern. Another one was the definite concern about our new MPP and his amalgamation trust that's being sort of coerced on him to look at that. There's lots of different ones about the pool, about a variety of things, about representation on EMS and Belvedere and on VSAT. Mm-hmm. It's a very unfair, inequitable, and unjust situation. There's a whole thing on trying to bring forward through the AMO election expenses for municipal council. They're not allowed to claim their expenses for elections where the federal and provincial can. I think that's an absurd and unfair and inequitable situation, etc. Most of them are area related.
So you'll put that up then?
Sure. I have no problem with it.
Yep, that's great. Thanks. Sure.
Not everyone will agree, but that's my position. Okay. Was there one more? Yes, please.
Yeah, David Moore. Just for historical, again, it should be on record here, too, that Cogeco, the building's already there, the tower's already there, it's over the new fire hall now, fire hall number one.
Yeah.
So that's the Cogeco hookup that was done years and years ago, and they supplied the internet usage in that to the community center at the time. I'm not sure if they still are or not. I'm just not sure they are. But I think that can be checked historically. The original agreement should be here somewhere.
Okay.
So the building's already up, the tower's already up. I don't think they plan on expanding it, but they might. And they go in there regularly with that building.
Okay. Anything else? Thanks for those questions. So, resolution 22360, be resolved that the Council of Township Cutter pursuant to Municipal Act SO 2001 is amended, move into closed session at 8:40 p.m. to discuss the following items: minutes of closed sessions, personal matters about an identifiable individual, including this for local board employees, 2392B, staffing matters, litigation or potential litigation other matters before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality board. Mover and seconder.
We
have no way to
see that.
Any discussion? Call the question.
$7
So take a look at Minerva before you go. Well, I seen it this morning. So I put it in yesterday and I thought nothing of it. Yeah. I seen it this morning. I was like, there it is. Yeah, so yeah, I just, it looks like a floodlight, but it's LED.
Is LED just something?
I know I can see it. It looks like that. Well, there, the blue screen is up and on the center. Yeah, that'd be cool. Well, I was saying to Morley that I could put a little concrete stand and I thought it shine in all the time. It doesn't burn up.
Just in a way,
take a look at it.
I'm sure they're pushing it.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that Gord's jacket or is that your jacket?
Oh, that's Gord's. Thanks, Greg. All right, talk to you later.
You bet.
I didn't ask
you. Now you'll have to take him home.
Yeah. I should be at the parking lot. So Balsam Road tomorrow.
Oh, they're starting.
Takes today. Balsam tomorrow.
They did teach today?
Well, they get halfway. By the time we get a chunk graded on Balsam tomorrow, they'll be there. We haven't got any time to do anything.
Wow.
Well, because we have to rake driveways, you know, do all that while we're... Like everybody just, yeah, it's pretty cool. It goes fast once we get going. Like they've already got one layer on 3/4 of the way around James Island already. Wow. Not since noon. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Talk to you later.
Yeah. Another complaint will start coming in about people speeding down there.
Yeah.
Did you kill him?
I had to be.